Welcome to the IM Radio Network, where noted authority coaches, authors, and speakers collaborate and bring to you the best in radio, TV, and live events worldwide. And now, the IM Radio Network proudly presents the Dr. Simone Show with your host, Dr. Simone Reves. Get ready to go. Interactive.
Hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Thank you so much for joining me at the Interactive Radio Network. And this is the Dr. Simone Show, the Mind Body Edge. And we talk here about things involving human behavior, health, life experiences, consciousness, and things of that nature. Because these issues are really vital for us to uncover and discuss, since they can educate us, heal us, help us grow, and even improve the condition of humanity and the planet as a whole, or so we intend. Let me tell you a little bit briefly about my story and let you know why I'm on the radio. In my other life, I was a former psychologist and decided to go into coaching so that I could spread my impact to even more people. And I do that through public speaking and, of course, through hosting this radio show. I'm currently a certified business and life coach and brain coach. I'm fascinated by neuroscience. And I use that a lot in my coaching with people, proven brain-based techniques to help them eliminate their negative thinking, the disturbing emotions they have, eliminating or greatly reducing stress, and breaking through their sabotaging behavior so that they can achieve business and personal success. These techniques are wonderful. They're incredibly effective, and I feel really honored and blessed to have learned about these and to be able to use these with the people with whom I work. You know, it was almost a guarantee I would end up doing something in the field of human behavior because when I was very, very young, my parents would take us out to restaurants and before you knew it, I would be leaning way over to one side or the other, wherever there were people sitting and speaking, and I would be eavesdropping. And I would then stare across the room at another family or a group or a couple, just staring and watching. And my parents would be saying, "Simone, Simone, stop it." And I would for about 15 seconds, and then I would be leaning again and staring, and I've just always been so fascinated by human behavior, and my mission throughout my life has been to help other people to improve their situation and to really fully optimize themselves and their lives. So today, we're going to have an excellent visitor with us. I believe he's having a little bit of trouble getting in to the radio network. But I'll go ahead and he is with us now. So I'll go ahead and tell you a little bit about him. It's going to be a very interesting and humorous interview, I believe, but we are also going to learn a lot about relationships. Leonardo, quote, Panionator, quote, Bustos, is one of the world's foremost experts on baby boomer relationships. He has written 4 books and made dozens of videos, which has helped thousands of grateful clients to rediscover their, quote, love mojo. Okay, in order to find and connect with their ideal love match. He's made appearances on several radio and TV programs and was a regular guest on a weekly nationally syndicated radio program called Something You Should Know. He's been in major publications like the Huffington Post, Esquire, the New York Times, Playboy, and Cosmo, just to name a few. As a speaker and consultant, he's fascinated countless audiences with his ready-to-use practical advice and sage wisdom. He's just finished creating the Love Attraction Academy, which is an online dating course, and it uses software, data, and coaching to help singles find their best love match available in the shortest time possible. And I know that that's how people feel when they're ready to meet somebody. They want to do it now. And Leonardo lives with his security team, which is comprised of Mascara, an Australian shepherd, who watches from the outside, and Cole, a black lab pit bull, who maintains security on the inside of his home. It's really a two-stage alarm system. When when Mascara barks to Cole, who then relays the bark to Leonardo whenever anyone approaches. And they also double as his personal trainers that prod him to hike every day. And they also moonlight as dishwashers in the evening. I hope Leonardo cleans up after they're finished washing the dishes. At any rate, I would like you to welcome Leonardo Bustos. He's joining us now. Leonardo, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Simone, how are you today?
Great. Well, I'm so glad you were able to get through.
Internet gremlins are at work again. But
yes,
they didn't beat us today.
Good. So let's cut to the chase here. You are the companionator. You are a relationship coach, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Whatever got you interested in being a relationship coach?
Well, ever since I was a young boy, I was just fascinated by this feeling I would get whenever I would look at a pretty girl and who had aroused these emotions in me. And I learned what is happening to me. Why is this happening? And I want to feel more of this. So when I went to college, you know, I was so shy and tongue-tied whenever I tried to meet a pretty girl. And I went to San Diego State, where there were some beautiful girls in skimpy outfits and just parading around, the hormones are raging. But then whenever I tried to do anything, I was just helpless. So then I decided to learn how to do it, because some of my friends were so good at meeting girls and they made it seemed so easy. So when I was going for my master's degree, I talked my teacher into letting me do some research, because at the time nobody was really covering the subject. If you looked at how to meet the opposite sex, there was really nothing going on at the time. And the only book that was out there was this How to Pick Up Girls by Eric Weber. And it was like a 50-page book with big pictures that he sold for a fortune on Playboy. And so I talked my my professor into letting me doing some scientific research into human behavior to figure out what are some ways to increase your attraction so you can meet other, meet the opposite sex and connect with them. So that's what really got me started. And I wrote my first book back in 1981. So it was way before this 1981. It was way before it was way before the coaching and pickup artist and
was it
Tony
before
Robbins
Venus?
And I started
was
it was
before
right about
Venus?
That time.
Yeah,
was
it before
right
Venus?
About that time.
Oh, Venus and Mars?
Yes.
What about Venus and Mars?
Right about that time.
Oh, okay.
It was that great. What's his name?
I know who you mean.
And it was right about that time.
So you were really at the cutting edge there.
Yes, I was. And And it was so easy to get a media play at that time because nobody else was doing it. Tony Robbins, I remember, and Barbara DeAngelis were other headliners in that industry. But yeah, and then pretty soon my friends were asking me, hey, I got pretty good at it. And, the key thing that and this is to your audience there too, that one of the easiest ways to meet somebody, the approach is really the most difficult thing whenever you meet somebody you were attracted to and you wanted to go up and strike a conversation. The thing that I did was when I was doing my research, I thought, heck, why not approach pretty girls and ask them what attracts them to a guy? What are they attracted to a guy? So I would, I had my pitch down. I would say, hi, you look like the perfect girl to help me out with some research. Do you mind if I ask you a few quick questions on love and attraction? And what woman doesn't like to talk about love and attraction?
Right.
And so instantly I had an opening there. And and so then I started crafting some really good questions. And interestingly enough, there was a social scientist who created a 36 questions to help somebody fall in love with you. So that became a thing. And so that became the huge thing. This was back 10 years ago that he did this, but it was 20 years after I had done it first.
Right,
but
right.
Anyway,
I know how that feels. You know, so you say that I guess you specialize in baby boomer relationships.
Yes. Well, actually, the reason I got out of it at the time was because when I was one of my students read my book, How to Attract Men and Keep Them Interested, and next thing I knew, I was married, and at the time, I was also doing speaking engagements and doing some counseling, coaching, and when women would call me late at night asking for private lessons, my wife and said, we need to talk. And
I'm sure she wasn't delighted with that.
Right. And I say, honey, it's work.
Yeah, right. We've heard that before. No, I'm kidding. It really was work.
It really was work.
Yeah.
So I had to then, I got into commercial real estate. And then when I got divorced again, about 10 years ago, I thought I'd pick up where I left off, and I used my marketing ability on how to market million-dollar properties on the internet to the best possible buyers. So that's where I came up with my patented process. It's called the Mate Attraction Program, where you go through 5 stages. You just, like, if you were going to sell a house, would you just put up a for sale sign in the front yard? How many offers would you get? You wouldn't get that many offers.
No.
But if you marketed like a $1 million property, you'd have so many offers that you could become very selective. And and so that's how I transitioned from commercial marketing $1 million properties to marketing my clients.
Yes.
Like $1 million properties.
Who were worth millions themselves. So.
And since.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was wondering, since you're working a lot with baby boomers, do you think that they're looking for anything different in their relationships than those at younger ages?
The reason that I chose the baby boomers is because, for number one, I am one now.
Right.
And it is so different dating when you're older as when you are when you were younger. And basically, we're all looking for love, but there is a huge difference from when we were younger because, and I don't think people really can appreciate the difference, the biological urge to merge when you're young is so great. I mean, and that is what makes, that's what makes connecting so easy, is that you know, because we're here to do two things, survive and reproduce.
Right.
And the urge to reproduce is so strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you don't have that, hello, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So when you don't have that biological urge to merge, you have to really try harder when you're a baby boomer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get rid of this other call here. But when you're older, connecting with somebody becomes so much more difficult when you're older, because let's face it, we're not as attractive and tightly toned as when we were younger. We become
more set in our
ways.
Well, I don't know about you, Leonardo.
Well, for the majority of us, you know, we have a few more wrinkles and we're not as adorable and innocent too, you know, because once you get older, you become a lot more seasoned is the way that I like to put
seasoned.
It. And you become more set in your ways.
Yes, that's true.
And you know, dating, if you don't know what you're doing when you're dating older, it becomes a chore, and many people
mm-hmm.
just give up on it. And so that's what I'm here is try to make it fun and exciting again, like it was
and
when you were younger.
Right.
To get those butterflies. I don't know if you can recall the first days of going to class in high school. You'd look around the room, and those butterflies you would get when you'd see somebody that you thought were cute, and you'd fantasize about being their boyfriend or girlfriend, and it doesn't happen that often when you're older, and you have to kind of make it happen if you really want a relationship.
Right. So you take these individuals who want relationships, and how in the world, why would someone want to try internet dating? I mean, I know it's huge now, but is it as big a thing for baby boomers as well?
It is becoming more and more acceptable to baby boomers. In fact, a study was recently done in Chicago, was featured in the Today, USA Today, showing that nearly half of all relationships and marriages started online, and nearly one
Wow.
third of marriages started from meeting somebody online, and those numbers are increasing.
That's incredible.
It's becoming more and more acceptable to meet somebody online, because when you think about it, the old-fashioned way, as we said back in the day.
Hello, Leonardo?
Yes.
Oh, we're having a bad connection moment. Okay, I think it's stopped now. Yeah, go ahead with what you were saying.
Because back in the day, the way that you would meet somebody was through friends or family or work. And your area of being able to select somebody was confined to a small geographical area.
Mm-hmm.
On internet dating, it opens up so many more opportunities because now it's almost like going through a catalog to see... To see what's out there. And these are people that are actively online looking for somebody. So it's not like you're going to a Starbucks or trying to meet somebody at Starbucks at the supermarket or at a nightclub or something. These are people who are actively looking for a relationship. They're telling you who they are and what they like, and they're spending money to do it. So these are people that are actively trying to look for a relationship.
Right. So they preselected themselves.
Right. And interestingly enough, though, there's a downside to it. It's called the paradox of choice. Because once you're confronted with too many choices, it makes it too difficult to make a decision.
Yeah, overwhelming.
So I did create some software to overcome those issues.
Right.
In
now,
my
is
program
this,
to make, make,
the Made Attraction program?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And I have yet to find anything else like it. It's really a 5-step program that encompasses from start to finish a relationship. And what I find really fascinating is that most folks will get advice on what cell phone to buy, what computer, what insurance, what color to paint their house. But how often do people get advice on making one of the most important decisions of their life?
Absolutely.
I feel that one of the most important decisions of our life towards our happiness is who we choose to be our partner or spend our time with.
I guess people just look at it
more time with anyone else.
Yeah, I guess people just look at it more as something private, you know, that they aren't used to sharing about with other people.
Well, yeah, you're so right, and like I mentioned before, people are hoping to find a relationship through just a random encounter or meeting somebody through a friends or family. You know,
it
may or may not ever happen. So that's why if you really want to find your best love match, you really have to be proactive. And and you can learn tools to make yourself more desirable, to learn how to connect with somebody. There's questions that you can ask that will cause attraction. And there are the body language.
And I was going to ask you about that. If you can give us some tips on body language, that would be great.
It's different between men and women, you know, because typically men. Here's another interesting thing that people don't realize in today's modern society is that, you know, typically in the animal kingdom, men are the aggressors.
Right.
You know, for the reasons because is that men can procreate 5 times in a day, whereas women can only procreate every 9 months or a year, and so her investment into having a sexual relationship or reproducing is so much more. So she has to be very selective with whom very selective whom she chooses, where a guy is more concerned with quantity, a woman is more concerned with quality. So that's why it's so much easier for men to have sex than women, because of the, you know, biology, science.
Right.
And so, I'm sorry, what was the question again? Very good question.
Yeah. That was good. Thank you for telling us a little bit about the biology of that. I mean, I know that passing on one's genes is highly important, and that males and females, animals, including human beings, do have very different approaches.
The
question that we wanted to get to was if you could give us some tips. We want some tips, Leonardo. Spill the beans.
Okay.
We want some tips on body language.
When we first see somebody, first impressions are so important. And the body language is huge. How we present ourselves is so much more important than what we say, because when we first see a person, your posture is so important. How you walk, because for a man, for example, if you will imagine a man walking into a room with his shoulders hunched over and his head down, and he's shuffling with no arm movement, as opposed to some guy who's strutting in with a sense of purpose, with his head high, and is moving his arms backward and forth, and he's got solid eye contact. That to a woman is male cleavage.
Know what I mean? Okay.
A woman the self confidence that a man exudes. It makes all the difference in the world, because that first impression will either determine how a woman perceives you, in the future, because everything you do based on your first impression is either enhanced or diminished by the first impression that you make.
Right.
So one of the things that I'd like to advise my male client is to start making your body language a priority everywhere that you go. When you're walking into the store, watch how you walk in the mirrors or the reflection of the window. Make sure that you have your posture is up. One good way to do it is to stand against the wall. Stand against your wall, a wall with your back against the wall. And that's how you should walk, is with your back straight up and down, with your shoulders back. And same thing for women, too. I mean, you know, to not be afraid to expose your best part, you know, your breast, one of your best parts, and not walk hunched over. And your eye contact is critical. Whenever you're interested in somebody, I like to use it's called the eye triangle technique. Where you look at the left eye, move over to the right eye, down to the lips, and you hold the tension, maybe lick your own lips, and then back to your do the triangle technique, and just hold a gaze a little bit longer than it's normal. And one of the other things to do is not make nervous movements. The less you move, the better, and your movements have to be very fluid and slow. Avoid nervous shaking. Avoid nervous shaking your feet or tapping, and having an open body language. Keep your arms open. Your legs for guys, you know, you can keep your legs open, but women, you know, if you're crossing your legs, keep them pointed towards the guy. And make sure you maintain good body posture. The other important thing too is that's often overlooked is mirroring the first movements. Whether it's through the words that they use, the rhythm of the cadence of their language, the words that they use, try to use the same words that they use. Familiarity is, it goes back to our biology. We are attracted more and we feel more comfortable to people who are just like us. So, you know, when they had tribes back hundreds of thousands of years ago, if we had similar traits and the tribes that were similar to us, we felt that they were friends and not foes.
Right, and it's so the us versus them. It was the us versus them mentality. You were either in the group or you were out of the group. And if you were out of the group, you represented a threat.
And all of this goes back to evolutionary psychology. And that's really an emerging science that's really picking up a lot of steam. It's really fascinating to learn why we do the things that we do and why we are attracted to other people. And it goes back to our ancestors.
Right. And, it's interesting that you mentioned mirroring the other person, because we have neurons in our brains that are called mirror neurons. Are you familiar with those?
Yes, I am. Yes. In fact, yeah. Just like, for example, when somebody sneezes, you can't help but sneeze too, or yawn.
Or yawning.
The other thing. Yawning,
or even,
right.
I noticed that when somebody picks up their coffee to drink, the person next to them oftentimes does the same thing. But mirror neurons, the science is not there yet to definitively say what they're for, but we do believe that they're linked with empathy. So you definitely want to build empathy with somebody that you want to have a relationship with, right?
Exactly. And micro expressions are a whole other topic where, you know, subconsciously, when somebody does, we have, I don't know how many hundreds of muscles in our, or how many muscles we have, we can make hundreds of different types of expressions based upon our eyes and our mouths and our
Right.
Our brow. But but subconsciously we're able to detect other people's emotions based upon the micro expressions. For example, they showed Richard Nixon when he was saying, "I'm not a crook," but they slowed down those frames. They slowed down those frames step by step, and although when he was talking, he looked convincing, but when you slowed down the frames, there were certain frames that he looked, you could just tell he was being deceptive.
Right.
And that's the same thing. Subconsciously, we're able to pick up those cues, just like when you feel you have a gut reaction about somebody and you can't really put your finger on it. It's your ancestors' conditioning that are telling you about how you should feel and trust somebody.
Right. You know, there's so many. They've done a study also on smiling, and that there can be so many different types of smiling, and they looked through them all, and they found that there's only one truly sincere smile, even though people a lot of times will smile because, you know, if they're bored or if they're just trying to encourage you to go on, they'll smile, but there's only one true smile. We're going to take a break, Leonardo, a station break, and then we'll be right back, okay?
Okay. Got it.
All right, thanks.
Hello, amazing listeners to the I Am Radio TV Network. We thank you so very much for being here with us today. We wanted to let you know we have an amazing opportunity coming up. We have available broadcast time. If you are a coach, author, speaker, or a business person looking to get your message out to the entire planet, then please get in touch with us as soon as possible, and we will go over the various levels of participation in our network. Again, we thank you for being with us here today on the I Am Radio TV Network. Now, get ready to go. Interactive.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks again for joining us. And I wanted to give you our phone number in case anybody wants to call in and ask the companionator, Leonardo, any questions about relationships or discuss any feelings of anxiety about approaching anybody, you can give us a call. Our number is 657-383-1534. Again, it's 657-383-1534. Thank you. Welcome back, Leonardo. You there?
I'm here still.
Okay, great.
Yes, I am.
Great. So we were talking about mirroring and evolutionary psychology and fascinating things of that nature. I wanted to ask you, if I wanted to do some, and you may have discussed, you've covered this a little bit, but what about effective flirting? What hints would you give me for effective flirting?
One of the best ways to flirt is to precondition yourself prior to going into if you're having a date, for example. If you're having a date, is to do some mentally rehearsing first, to imagine the date, you know, because athletes and people do it all the time, is to get yourself in the mood, get yourself in that frame of mind by listening to some music that gets you up. If you're listening to romantic music, is to, prior to a date, is to get in that frame of mind and
get
mentally
in the groove.
Rehearse how that,
get in the groove,
get in the groove,
right?
How that date is going to go. Be prepared with some questions. When you're out on a date, you don't want to do the typical interview of how many brothers and sisters do you have. Where, you know, you can say where are you from to start the conversation, but the conversations that you want to have are the ones that put the other person into a good frame of mind. For example, one of the, a great question that I ask, can you tell me about the first time you were in love. So immediately that gets the other person into, you know, in order to access that part of their brain, they have to feel those emotions. And when they feel those emotions can be transferred to you if you use the proper eye contact and body language. So that will enhance the effect of attraction. So you can actually create attraction by asking the right questions and using the right body language. As I mentioned before, the sticky eyes where you maintain eye contact a little bit longer than possible. Using props to, for example, women, have you ever seen a woman use a straw or touch a fondle of a goblet? You know, there are things that you can use, props to use to flirt with. But the other great way to practice your flirting technique is to learn to strike up conversations with everybody. A lot of people, and this is something that can be learned. For example, if you're at the supermarket and somebody's, you know, you see just anybody start off with where there's no pressure involved. Ask them about how do you tell how a melon's ripe? Do you have do you know a good recipe for ceviche or if you're at Starbucks, what coffee would you recommend?
Right.
But just start learning to strike up conversations with people. And the more you do it, the easier it is, because when that moment comes when you want to meet somebody, it's called cold read. When you want to approach somebody and strike up a conversation with them, it's so much easier if you have had that, if you're used to doing it with total strangers.
And that makes sense.
The more you do that, the easier it is to start flirting. But there's some great questions that you can ask. And for men, one of the things I was talking about earlier about approaching is that you want to approach from the side, from a 45-degree angle. You never want to approach a woman directly from behind and scare the heck out of her.
You
never want to approach, walk up straight right in front of her. The best way to approach is from the side. And so it's all a very subtle, it's a slow and progressive approach where give them time to get used to you. Show your hands, because, you know, in the old days, if you were hiding your hands, means you could have had a weapon or a rock or something.
Right.
So the more you show your hands, the more trusting you will appear.
Interesting.
And interesting enough, too, is that the more that you gesticulate and the more animated you are, the more interesting people will find you.
Huh.
So use your hands a lot in conversations, and people will become more attracted to you.
Interesting. That's really fascinating information.
But you have to learn how to use the right gesticulations. You know the chop, the wave, you don't want to use negative hand gesticulations. But in fact, I'm coming out with a new video on which ones to use. But
interesting.
So anyway, those are really important things to create to improve your desirability in the dating marketplace.
Speaking about what you've produced, tell me a little bit about your book. Tell us about How to Attract Women with Humor, one of your books.
One of the things that, are you referring to the one that I have, my latest one, How to Attract Women with Humor, is what I have done is one of the best ways to make people like and trust you is to use humor. And I practice it all the time. For example, when you're on the phone as much as I am, especially with tech support nowadays, when you're dealing with other people, one of the things that they ask me, can I have your name? And I would say, well, I give you my name, then what am I going to use? Sometimes there's a long pause, and then all of a sudden they bust out laughing.
Yeah, they finally get it.
And it's amazing what type of cooperation you can get with other people when you can make them laugh. Another great one is when they say, "Well, I'm sorry, he just stepped out of the office," and I would say, "I hope you're not on the second story."
Right, that's great.
The other one too is that they always end up with, "Is there anything else I can do for you? Is there anything else I can do for you?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Now that we're such good friends, can you loan me a couple $100?" and so it's amazing how much people will help you and how much people will be drawn to you when you can use that type of humor. And there's so many ways that you can that you can adapt it. One of the ways that I recommend is there's a website called Newsmax.com, and what they do is they summarize the monologues of the comedians from the previous night. So all of their humor is really fresh and topical. And so they have really some hilarious stuff that you can use, like if you're going to go out on a date and you want to be funny. There's always fresh content that you can use.
Is that Newsmax.com?
Newsmax.com. And then there's a section where they have the monologues from Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel and Bill Maher and somebody from the previous night. You can always find really current topical humor to start off with. Sometimes when I go out on a date or something like that, I would say, "Okay, I'm ready to be entertained. What do you got?" And immediately that, starts a humorous reaction. And so you want to make your dates or your interactions with people as humorous as possible.
Sure.
That sends good endorphins to the brain. It's so much more fun, and you become much more fun and interesting if you're in a playful, flirtatious mood then, as opposed to talking about the latest tragedy. And you want to avoid politics and religion on the first date. You don't want to get discuss topics that are going to be controversial or because we are attracted to people who are just like we are, because people are thinking, when you agree with them, they're thinking, "Oh yes, how intelligent you are that you think like me."
Right.
But think like I do.
That's funny. That's very true. So, Leonardo, what are the attractor factors that you've mentioned?
Well, as I mentioned, this is a nice segue into this attractor factor.
Right.
One of the things that with about today's society, another reason why sometimes connecting is so difficult is that women's liberation, which happened in the early 60s, I'm all for women's equality and women's rights. But what that did is it upended 150,000 years of male-dominated roles in our society. And so in the last 50 years, we've transitioned from a relatively male-dominated society into one of equality for women. And what that has done is it's made women, it's upended, like I mentioned, I'm not judging the effect. I'm all for women's equality. It's a good thing that it happened. But the role reversals of the last 50 years is like 40,000 to 1. I calculated it's about 40,000 years of evolution, or 40,000, 40,000 to 1. It's like being on a 5-inch yard line of a football field is on a 100-yard football field. That's how much time our society has reverted to a women equality, and how it's upset the gender.
Human
roles
has progressed.
As far as, has progressed.
Thank you.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Not
has
reverted.
Progressed. And I you reverted. Yes, you're absolutely right. Though. Thank you for correcting me. and it's a great thing, but it has had an effect on families, you know, because women are now in the workplace where women usually stayed home and cooked and cleaned and took care of the family. Now they're out in the workplace, and now they are becoming more, women are becoming more independent and able to take care of themselves and not have to depend on men so much. And so the roles have been reversed. And so now, and we saw it so much in the early 90s, like with the, I don't know, for the TV buffs out there, the King of Queens, Everybody Loved Raymond.
Right.
There were so many of the sitcoms that showed that women were now in charge of, women were now making the decisions, and women were pushing around the men. And that has created a society of feminized men. And not to judge, you know, I'm not making a judgment whether it's good or bad, but it's reality that men have become very feminized, and women, you know, say they love sensitive, careful, emotional guys, but in reality, that's not true. Women still like strong, masculine women, even men, even though they say they like they may like it for a while, but
right.
But you know, you can't reverse for that type of evolution overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's caused many men to try to perceive women differently and try different and not be as portray the masculine roles. So that
mm-hmm.
has really confused a lot of relationships, and I think it is one of the reasons why we've had such a high rate of divorce too, is because of these gender confusion
right.
roles.
Right. Very well put. Very well put. So Leonardo, what can you tell us about the mate attraction program?
Yes. Back to when I was, I mentioned earlier about my career in commercial real estate, selling million-dollar properties. So if you were going to put yourself out on the market, you in order to really become to attract the best mate possible, you want to become the best mate possible, because typically we all have a certain value in the dating marketplace,
mm-hmm.
and your value is kind of subjective and depending upon characteristics that we look for in a person, you know. Appearance is important, of course. Height, weight, ethnicity is important to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Religion is important to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Your sense of humor, your kindness, your loyalty. So what I've done is in the mate attraction program, I've created a 5-stage program that I used to use to market my million-dollar properties. And the first one is to prepare yourself. In other words, if you want to get in a relationship, first of all, you have to prepare yourself by making your environment more inviting, by
mm-hmm.
learning from your past mistakes in dating, you know, whether it's relationships that ended because one of you, you know, there's always takes two to tango, but we've all made mistakes in past relationships. So learning from those mistakes so you don't
right.
repeat them.
Right.
In other words, you want to build a solid foundation for a new relationship. So the first stage is to prepare yourself, whether it's to, you know, lose weight, whether it's to get a better career. Prepare yourself for a relationship. The second stage is package yourself. So if you're going to sell a $1 million property, you want to clean it up. You want to do the rehabs. You want to fix the things that need to be fixed. You want to take the best pictures. You want to create the best captions, because you're going to be marketing on property, so you want to put it in its best image. So
right.
That's the second stage, is to package it. The third stage is to present it. For example,
mm-hmm.
if you were just going to sell a property, you wouldn't just put it on one site. If you want to get the most offers, you want to put it on multiple sites.
Multiple, right.
And you want to put that best image out there. So the third stage is to present it to the marketplace. The pair package it presents. And then once you presented it all there, you're going to start getting a lot of offers. So the next thing to do is to be able to select the best offer out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then once you select the best ones, then you connect with that best ones. Because, you know, unlike, there's similarities with real estate. You can select the best one, but you still have to have that chemistry. And
right.
There is that correlation to chemistry, especially if it's a business. The chemistry can be in effect of the location, where the traffic is coming from, the visibility, the feng shui, if you want to put it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing with chemistry in a relationship. It's biological in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so those five stages: prepare, package, present, select, and connect. And there's things that you can learn to connect with. There are tools that you can have to learn to connect with somebody. One is by becoming, you know, indispensable in that person's life, and where they come to depend on you. And that's how love is created, when people help each other and go through trying times together, good
mm-hmm.
and bad. Those are things
mm-hmm.
that help to create that bond. And
bond,
disclosing
right.
more things, disclosing personal things, can have a huge effect on attracting somebody. And it goes back to those 36 questions I had before. Disclosure is huge towards creating a bond and love. And it's often, you know, that's why psychiatrists and counselors are actually prohibited from having relationships with their clients, because of this fact of the attraction that can be had by disclosing very personal things and trusting that person.
Right, and there's an unequal power. There's an inequity in power between the two as well.
But those same types of disclosures when you're both disclosing very personal things, then it's not really that power thing that you find in counseling relationships.
Right, right. Exactly. Tell me this. What if you prepare yourself and you do all this, but you're trying to look so good and answer questions in a way that are so socially accepted that you're not really being yourself, and you end up attracting people that it may work out for a while, but your true feathers or true colors will show? Have you had experiences like that with the clients that you work with?
That's why it's so important to spend time with a person, to make sure you do have that strong connection. And if there's really love there, then it makes it. And sex is such a huge component towards. It's the glue that binds relationships in the, you know, when you're younger, and even when you get older, that drive diminishes. So that's why it's so important to look for other things when you're older. But
but
back to the point that you were making early is you can still use these tools and still be yourself. I mean, I don't advise people not being yourself. Not being who you really are, but still you can still develop these tools to, you know, it's just like learning how to do anything, whether it's the woodworking, how to build a table, or learning how to write a book. it's you still have to be true to yourself and be the essence of who you are, because if you try to be somebody you're not, then you're just fooling yourself and you're fooling the other person, and you're not building a solid foundation.
Absolutely.
Because that chemistry has to be there. And, and here, speaking of chemistry, I wanted to squeeze this in because
sure.
I found this so fascinating. This is what's so fascinating about our biology. And, you know, we're talking about evolutionary psychology and anthropology. When we first kiss, when you think about a kiss, what you were doing is really just sampling each other's DNA, the taste, the touch, the smell, the sound, the sight, the visually. And so when you're kissing, on a biological level, in 1990, it was the early 90s, these scientists discovered that the scent or the pheromones that we emit, that on a subconscious level, when we smell somebody or these pheromones intermingle with each other, our bodies actually tell us whether or not our offspring has a good chance of survival. And the combination of if the pheromones make us attracted to each other, that means the combination of our DNA will create an offspring with the highest chance of survival. And if those pheromones don't match, then there's probably not going to be that attraction there. So subconsciously, on a biological level, we are attracted to each other, not just because of our brain, because of our biology. So when we kiss, we're sampling each other's saliva. We are looking at each other. We're smelling each other. So we're not that far removed from, you know, our ancestors, the gorillas and the apes and
the great apes, right.
The reptiles.
Can you tell us where to buy your books, where you can buy your books?
I have them on Amazon, Amazon.com, and or you can go to my website, thecompanionator.com. I'm in the process of partnering with some other dating experts with my the Love Attraction Academy. If you want to go online, you can look at the Love Attraction Academy, and you'll see the curriculum that's there. It's the 5-stage program that I mentioned earlier: prepare, package, present, select, and connect. And as far
right.
as I know a lot of other dating experts out there, no one really encompasses all 5 of those from start to finish, how to really find your best love match. And the software that I have included in the program, self-evaluator, self-assessment, questionnaire.
Questionnaires, okay.
Which helps you evaluate where you rate in the dating marketplace, the create a mate matrix, where you narrowly define your perfect partner, the date rater evaluator, where you can rate your dates to see how they compare to the perfect partner profile that you created in the matrix. And then there's the website analyzer, which helps you to determine which websites are the best ones to market yourself on.
Interesting. It's very comprehensive. And those, what you're mentioning, sounds like they're really essential parts of what could lead to a very healthy and loving relationship.
So the Love Attraction Academy is, think of it as the Expedia or the Travelocity of dating, where you can find everything. It's like the hub for all of the dating programs, and it also is the Love Academy that helps you to find your best love match available.
That's me.
Okay.
All right, Leonardo, I wanted to thank you so much for joining us. The Dr. Rabbit Simone. This is Dr. Simone Show, The Mind Body Edge. You've been a wonderful contributor, and you've really shared a lot of valuable information with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Uh-huh.
Thank you so much.
Great. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. One more thing, Dr. Simone.
Yes.
I tell everybody, stay sexy.
stay sexy. We'll remember that always. From Leonardo Bustos. Thank you. Okay, it's time to wrap up. Thanks for joining us today. And I will see you again in 2 weeks with Rebecca Hall Greider. I heard it.
Are we off the air now? I guess.